Hello.
Hello.
Hi, who all do we have on the line?
You have Steve here. Fort Wayne.
Hi, Steve.
Inetta is here.
Thank you.
Hello.
Inetta.
Hello.
How are you doing?
We're good. Can't complain.
See the sun today.
Well, Steve, if you're on the call too, then I'll just keep it open and hosted, but I'll let you take over your introductions and everything else when everybody's on.
Okay. Steve will be on today?
Steve's on. He's just at Fort Wayne at the farm show.
Oh, okay.
So he asked me if I could host the call from my desk just to make sure in case his cell phone something happened or anything else like that.
excuses.
I'm sitting out in the hallway at the show. So
I figured I could host the call for him if he was willing to go work at the farm show and tear it all down and bring it home. So.
How's Dan?
I am doing just fine, thank you. And yourself?
Oh, I'm doing well.
Oh,
how's the weather up there?
Oh, gorgeous day today. It is absolutely 36 degrees right now, not a cloud in the sky. It's just gorgeous.
Heat wave.
It is a heat wave, yes.
I'd say that's warmer than we are down here.
Yeah, we've had been a cold and icky winter so far, but this is nice to have a little warm up.
Yeah, we haven't gotten near the snow this year that we did last year. Got a little bit of cold, but not really extreme.
We had a big snowstorm early, I think, the first snow we got. We got around 18 inches, I think.
Yeah.
And, but it warmed up then after that, and boy, almost all the snow is gone. For the piles where it was plowed. But,
yeah.
Yeah. Been cold though.
Well, there's cold and then there's cold.
And then there's colder.
Yeah.
Yeah, can't complain.
Who else is on? No, yeah, that's who else is on with?
Well, this is Steve Hoover from Candace Agribility.
Hi there. How are you?
Just fine. How are you today?
I'm doing well.
Are you keeping warm?
I'm inside.
That's good. Yeah,
not a good day for doing a farm.
Well, we're up to about 50 degrees or close to it.
Oh my.
For the next couple of days, anyway, I'm here at our office, and I've got two of the ladies from our AT office is going to sit in too,
okay.
Kind of substituting for Sheila. She had a meeting she had to be in, so.
I saw that. She was some kind of policy meeting, I think.
Yeah, something like that. I don't know what for sure,
yeah.
But she's pretty busy.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we're recording the call if she wants to listen to it later.
Okay, she probably will.
We'll wait another couple minutes and then we'll let Dan take over.
All right. Let me know when you want to roll.
You talked to Al any lately, Dan?
Boy, the last time I talked to him, he was going to Nepal to work on a Habitat for Humanity type of housing with his son.
Really?
He did that every year with, I think, a church group.
Okay.
So
he said,
in Nepal.
Okay. He said he was thinking about retiring finally, that he
yeah.
was thinking about it before they started Agribility, the Agribility project up there, and then...
Yeah.
he might do it now, so I was curious if he did.
Yeah, he will. He's going to retire. He's done. We're going to have to find some new players then for the new RFA coming out. So.
Well, I told him we'd miss him.
Yes. He was a good friend. He was good.
Yeah.
Nice guy to work with.
Well, I'm still referring people to you up there. So.
Pardon me?
I'm still referring farmers to you.
Yes.
When I get calls. So.
Yeah, we're doing whatever we can. It's been tough with all the funding. You just really hate to drop the... We had so many in the tube there.
Yeah.
Was working with us, and certainly need to really finish up some of the ones we're doing the full assessment on and things. Yeah, it's been tough, and it's really, you really realize that, boy, there almost needs to be a shutdown period of a project like this where, maybe it's a 6-month extension or something to close up to be able to finish up with the farmers you're working with.
Because,
if we weren't going to continue, it just would have been, she would have been shut down. Where people went to then, I don't know. But anyway, it's going well.
Well, Dan, I think with our time, why don't you go ahead and I'll let you take over. And I don't know who all is on, so we'll let you take over.
Super. My name is Dan Storrs. I'm with Minnesota AgriBility. And Steve asked me if I would moderate today and talk a little bit about agricultural drones. They certainly, there's a lot of things happening in the news and research places and everything else on the drones. I'm not sure how familiar all of you are with drones, but they really, really had a lot of hope and promise, and they still do, I think. But it's just been so difficult with the FAA regulations. In July of last year, the FAA came out and said farmers and ranches and all commercial operators are prohibited from using the unmanned aircraft system, the drones, for commercial use, where a farmer could not buy a drone and operate that on his farm to check his crops and to check his livestock and anything that was going to be used for any type of a production decision was prohibited. And if a farmer or if anybody else in the commercial end of things that didn't have permits were caught doing that type of thing, using a drone for that, it was a $10,000 fine. And the FAA said the development and the understanding of the technology must cease until the guidelines are all established. So the people that don't have permits, I don't know what they're going to do, but the farmers can use it recreational. It can be a hobby for flying around and taking non-production type pictures and those types of things. It'll almost be like flying a model airplane. Kind of one of those type of things that it's kind of an expensive hobby if somebody's going to use that as a hobby, depending on what type of a drone. The drones run anywhere from $600-$700 up to $37,000-$40,000 and up to $1 million if you look at the big ones in Australia and some of the other countries that you start looking at a drone with a 250cc engine in it that runs on diesel. That's getting to be a big drone. But are any of you that worked with any farmers in your areas that have tried to get into the a drone to work with drones or anything?
Not yet.
You haven't heard a lot. Well, in January 6th, the FAA awarded the first agricultural contract to a firm in Idaho. It was two different organizations that got together to film to make a consortium where they could do programming, or they could do the drone type work for farmers commercially, where in northern Idaho they could for a fee from the farmers, they could do the farmers' fields, monitor them, map them, do whatever they wanted to do with the drone. That's the first agricultural one that's been permitted, and it's on a very small scale right now, since it would just be really northern Idaho. And it has to be one certain drone that the FAA has already tested, and they know what it's capable of. And it, they, you have to have a private pilot's license if you're going to fly a drone, as well as a current medical certificate for health-wise and things like that. And you have to have a spotter if you're using it. It can only be within, you have to be able to see it, so it's got to be within sight of when you send it out there to map a section of land. So it's... There's a lot of hope. There's a lot of hope that it'll open up for more farmers. And but if they all have to have private pilot license and stuff to run them, it may not be real practical for a lot of them. But there's a lot of concern in the public. Number one, for the safety, they're talking a lot about using drones to spray. Selected spraying in various areas. Some of in Japan and Australia and some other countries, they've been using drones since the 80s. And they seed and they fertilize and they spray and they everything with drones. And they're not as regulated as they are here. Canada, they have the drones. People just have to apply for a permit, and they usually get one within 10 to 12 days or something to use a drone. The United States and the FAA are really, really held tight on not really releasing many permits for that. The only industries that have it was the agriculture, just the one that just happened in January, and a real estate company got one too to be able to take pictures of homes and things in an area for real estate. And the other ones mainly were in film production for certain filming situations, gas and oil, and some irrigation stuff. It's been really limited. There's only 12 or 13 permits that the FAA has let out for private use of drones. And people are worried about just everybody having drones flying around to surveillance and stuff too, for privacy and safety. And the FAA is mainly worried about the collisions with planes. There could be issues with that. But there's a lot the farmers could do, a lot of agriculture for mapping their farms from the air, inspection from the air, surveillance from the air, all kinds of different things. That's kind of a beginning thing on drones. Any discussion or questions? Or Steve, I don't know, had you in the last call, Interest call with AT, did you talk about drones at all, or was that just that I wasn't on the last one? So. Hello? Anybody still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
We're still here.
Okay. Pretty quiet. any thoughts? Steve, from you? Any thoughts from Purdue's end of things?
I know that there's... we've got... couple professors in the department that are looking at drones. There is I suppose you'd call it a farm service company east of Lafayette that are they're starting to do some marketing on doing services with drones. I think we're if they could get the FAA to speed up, I think it could explode. I was looking for some toys for my grandkids, and there was actually we would call it a drone. You could get, I think it was a helicopter for about $70.
Yeah.
But I think one of the big concerns is, getting into flight patterns with airports. Hearing some reports that has happened with different levels of consequences.
And people have been flying right now. It's got to be less than 3 miles. More than 3 miles away from an airport.
Yeah. Well, it's like our building is, it's in flight pattern of the airport, close to campus. And they were looking at taking the back end of our building off, and we're at three stories right now. And to go four, they're going to have to get permission from the FAA to be able to do that.
To go four stories?
Yeah.
Wow.
We're that close to the airport. I think one of the real issues is privacy. Some of the animal rights groups are using drones to spy on livestock operations.
Sure.
I saw a video, I forget where it was now, where they were showing the video from a drone, and the property owner had brought a rifle out and took the drone out.
Actually
shot it, and I think that's going to be a real big deal too.
Right.
Invasion of privacy and that. So,
I think in a nationwide poll of people, I think 27% of people were in favor of drones, but the rest were not, as far as, and privacy was certainly one of the big issues.
Yeah.
Not something that they want flying around checking you out, taking videos and pictures. But I know they, in looking at drones, for the beginning people using drones, that they really recommend what they call the quadcopters, the drones
right.
that have four props on them. They're like a helicopter, and they can just rise and they land. The other ones are like airplanes.
Right.
And they don't land real well. And the damage and the wear and tear on them are pretty great, they said.
Yeah.
If they can land them, they have some real problems in them. Well, any questions on drones? Any kind of a different subject, since it's not really prevalent at this point, and it really hasn't affected a lot of the farmers certainly that we work with affected their operations. If now we can talk some about some of the other remote type things that the technology itself here helping the farmers and helping all the different sensors, cameras, all the various things that someone can use on the farm to help with some of the monitoring things. Any comments on that?
I think when we look at livestock, and I know I've looked at, had some fellows that had confinement hogs, and one of the issues that I have looked at is, okay, how are they, especially with maybe a wheelchair, how are they going to check the hogs? And some of the reading I've done, they've talked about using them for doing something like that. I think I'd want to know what I was doing with it before I ran it down a finishing pond. So run it into a auger or a downspout, pretty expensive.
Accident. Yeah, lots of different mounted cameras and things. All just seen and heard of as far as huge pastures and things, watering areas and feeding areas.
Right.
Someone wants to be able to see instead of going out and checking all these things. They do have remote cameras set up in some areas where they can, just from their computer in their house, tap or whatever, check on that. That's very all cameras and sensors in the ground and all the different, especially now with all the apps that people can get for the farmers, like the smartphones or the iPads or whatever in their tractors. Lots of different things that are out there that are pretty cool. I saw an app recently for either an iPhone or an iPad or Android. It was called the VR Peters, VRPETERS. It was developed by the University of Missouri, a couple doctors there, and it's for...
Dan? Hey, Dan. Can you say that? And I couldn't understand that.
Yeah, okay. Okay, there's an app for a smartphone that was developed at the University of Missouri, however... by two doctors there, and it's called the VRPETERS, and it stands for it is about it stands for Vehicle Rollover Prevention Education Training Emergency Reporting System. And that's an app that they have on their phone, or if they've got connections for their iPad or whatever, whatever they've got in their tractor. And it's an emergency thing for if there's a rollover, it will send out an emergency call to predetermined numbers. And it says that it's got the GPS coordinates where the accident happened, what time. It also is a training type of a tool that as a farmer is making turns with his tractor, if he's going too fast or if whatever, If the tractor becomes unstable, he'll get a warning message from the software saying that the tractor's unstable and it's really working on trying to help prevent some of the accidents from rolling over.
Okay, Dan.
Yes.
Do you have to have cell phone service or internet service to the iPhone, iPad, whatever?
Yes. Yeah, you'd have to have your phone out with you, and it would send it right on your phone.
You also have to be in an area that you would get cell service.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, and that certainly is an issue with the cell phone coverage, and many of the farmers that I work with certainly don't have the luxury of having the Wi-Fi in their tractor or whatever to be able to use some other things in there.
I just wanted to make sure that was right.
Yes, it's a free app from the iTunes App Store. It's a free download. It was released in April of 2014 is when it came out. But it certainly has some neat things, and it's a training tool, and they're hoping that it'll help reduce the deployment time of emergency vehicles if there is a tractor rollover or an accident. And it just is a training thing to help farmers know when they're going to tip over or whatever as far as slowing down on some of the curves and whatnot. But it's just one that caught my eye. I mean, there are so many farm apps out there. Have any of you worked with some of the various apps with people on the farm?
What did you say?
Hello?
Hello?
Any other apps out there? The people that work with?
I don't have any.
Okay.
We don't use them. One of the things that a lot of those apps are so cool and it'd be nice, but we have quality cell service that not many people would want to rely on them.
Right, yeah. Yes, that's an issue, the cell service and what is available.
Well, that's such a shame because the technology is very good. It's just that it's not accessible to everyone.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean that's certainly for a lot of the various apps and things that are available, especially even in the tractor cabs and some of those type things where you're in communication with the dealer with your rig there, that if you have breakdown in the field through connection, the dealer could connect right to the motherboard or whatever in your tractor and help figure out what's wrong with it. That John Deere has got that in some of their bigger tractors, and that's another tool. But it's not everybody's got access to some of those things, so it is a little tougher to get some of those. Is there any remote type things that your farmers are doing as far as remotely being able to monitor stuff or to help them in their day-to-day issues, especially with mobility issues and some of those?
Probably what we're...
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead, Anita.
One of the things that I'm working on now is this issue of farmers being out by themselves and no way to get in touch with anybody. So now I'm working with some of our volunteer fire departments and looking at how we can get the the two band radio, the four band radio, whatever, the TV type stuff, so that farmers would have access, so that if something did happen, they would be able to get in touch. Because I have several farmers now that they are worried. They, you know, they're out in the middle of GFE somewhere, and there's, you know, no one would miss them until, you know, dinner time. By that time, they could have been laying somewhere for hours because there's no cell phone service. You know, there's no way. So we're trying to figure out if there's, you know, some way with that high band radio that we can do something.
Yeah, that would be neat. That certainly is an issue, I think, and certainly in the remote areas in Minnesota for any type of cell phone coverage or other radio type of, a lot of times it's not there. It's I work with a farmer that's been on the field all night that actually had fallen out of his tractor and couldn't get back in again. And that's a real issue. It'd be good to hear if that the radios that you're talking about work, or that there's someone that monitors those radios.
Well, and what we're looking at is it's kind of the same kind of radio system, I guess, that like the fire departments and things use. Just want to find out if there's any way that, you know, they usually don't like to give out the frequencies to get, you know, Joe's. But, you know, if we have, you know, farmers that needed that because they monitor those frequencies all the time. And, you know, but we don't know if because of the safety issue with, you know, police and fire departments and all that, if it's even going to be feasible that we'll be able to do that. But that's something that we're checking into.
Yeah, that would be nice if they would let that frequency out to some, especially the group you're talking about there. That the communication is a real problem.
Probably the remote stuff that our farmers have been using, and Kylie's dad is probably one of the few that I have or that have put cameras in his Farron house, and I've heard of some others putting them in horse barns and calving barns to where they can check on the livestock during the night from the house and don't have to go to the barn.
Yeah, I was getting ready to mention that. They, Dad used to have to, I mean, he'd get up when he knew he had a sow close, he'd get up 4 or 5 times a night to go check them. And now he just has to go into the other, to the spare bedroom where he's got the camera set, or the TV set up for the camera. And he can put up as many cameras as he wants in there. Right now he just has one that he moves around, but with the one he can see 2 crates at a time. So he puts the sows that are closest to pigging right there underneath that one. And it's helped him out a lot. I think he saved more pigs that way too, because sometimes if the weather's real bad and you just don't go out as many times in a night, you might miss them starting and you lose them. So he's had good luck with that. And then he recently bought a set of cameras down at a farm show for, they're just magnetic cameras that he's figuring on putting on like his, like grain buggy, so he can see how full it is easier, or, you know, giving him more visibility when he's in the tractor and around equipment and things too.
A lot of uses for the cameras. Farmers are putting them in their tractors now to see behind them, to the sides of them, to
mm-hmm.
see the whole area that they're working with. And like you talked about in the different livestock barns and some of those things, that they're certainly nice for the remote remote viewing of some of that. Again, if you've got phone coverage and if you've got the technology, there's a lot of apps out there that would do that kind of, not monitor the video type portion, and they still need cameras and things. A lot of the other monitoring as far as some of the grain stuff, the bins and the trucks and the trailers and the but lots of different things. Any other type of remote stuff that people are thinking about or talking about? A lot of new technology out there. lots of new stuff happening that kind of a not technology one, but it's really cool. I saw that last year on the Modern Farmer. I get the newsletter from Modern Farmer, and it was about a mobile cider mill in Ontario, Canada. I don't know if any of you have seen that. I've got people that work on orchards and have orchards in this area of the world here, and apple orchards that the people up in Canada, these two brothers made these portable apple cider processing, their mobile cider mills that they bring out on a flatbed trailer, and they go to a person's orchard and take the apples from the individual's orchard, and they do the whole process of the apple cider processing there right at the site. And they vacuum seal them in bags and put them in boxes. They're like a 5-liter wine box, but they're apple cider. And they charge the farmer anywhere from $4.50 a 5-liter container to $6.50, depending on how many bushels of apples that they do. Quite an operation on the back of a truck to be able to go in and pasteurize it and do the whole process from start to finish. And when they leave, they leave the orchard owner with the boxes of apple cider, and then they have to sell it. Pretty neat process. There's only a couple of them up in Canada, but I thought that was pretty cool for the apple orchards, portable processing. Any other cool stuff going on in the AT world other than the monitoring and the drones and maybe talked out on those issues? Steve, what do you think there?
Well, I'll be honest with you. Some of my... I'm not a techie person, and I guess to be able to recommend it, I've got to understand it. And so I'm probably behind and spending the time and to do the research and all of that is something I guess I've got to force myself to do, but it's difficult with everything else going on too. So I think you got to help each other on that.
What are the main things that you're seeing with the individuals that you're working with as far as the needs? Have they changed much, or are they...
Okay, I'm still working probably majority with smaller operations, with older equipment, to where, you know, we're not in a position to do the techie stuff in a cost-effective manner. I've got a one of my clients. He had a bale of shavings fall on his shoulder, and he's developed Parkinson's. And for some reason, they didn't repair his shoulder, and so he can't push and pull with his right arm. And of course, all your controls are on the right hand side. And had an older John Deere tractor with a manual shift, and he wasn't taking the he just put the shift in neutral. He wasn't putting it in park, which was a real safety issue. And he checked out a I forget what it was, a IH or Massey Ferguson tractor, where everything's done fingertip, shifting, all the controls still on the right hand side. We were working with VR on with him, and we were able to get VR to help cover some of the difference in the cost between his old tractor and the newer one. I don't know how much VR chipped in on it, but counselor and supervisor were the ones that they looked at the proposal. We were pushing the envelope on it, and they said this is how you need to word it. So, but that's probably the biggest technical thing is the figure kept shifting and that.
So VR paid for part of the tractor. Boy, we haven't been able to get VR to touch tractors.
He was on trade tractors, and we had talked about modifying the older John Deere tractor and what it would take to do that, and it was we were looking at probably $15,000 to do that. And we couldn't find anybody that would do it. And that's how we ended up having VR contribute to the trade-in.
Ah.
On the difference. So I haven't talked to them to see how much they chipped in, but we were suggesting at least 10,000 on it.
Okay.
So that's probably as techie as we've got.
Sounds pretty techie.
Oh yeah. Beyond me.
We were finally able to get VR to do a action track standing chair for a guy last year.
Okay.
First time they've touched one of those.
Okay.
It's been a real lifesaver for the farmer.
I've got a farmer that's wanting one.
Yeah, that's that was a you know, it really depends on I think certainly on the counselor that you're working with. Man, this counselor was, she was a go-getter, and boy, she really pushed stuff along, and it worked out well. But
yeah.
Some not quite so.
So if you can get them to tell you how they want it worded.
Yeah.
That helps a lot.
Have any of you ever had experience with Railbusters, the Roto King bale processor, round bale processor. I'm working with a farmer right now that looking at, he's got a dairy farm and he needs, he wants, I mean, he can't shovel the and pull the round bales, especially in the wintertime when they freeze, with his pitchfork to get the bales separated for his for the cows, and then also to shred the stuff, the corn stalks for his bedding and his on the floor and in the pens that he's got there. But he was looking at a bale buster, but man, you look at some of those things and they're up into the $30,000-$40,000 for one of those processed bales. Came across the Roto King, the bale processor that you put either on a skid loader or on the back or front of a tractor, a loader tractor that you can use it, and it's like a big scoop that's got mechanisms that'll shred the bales like that. And they look pretty slick. I haven't been able to find anybody that's used one. Have you ever seen those before?
I have seen some shredders just in catalogs and online. I've not seen any in person.
Okay.
I would check with some of our fellows from Wisconsin to see if they've seen any.
Yeah, they've got plenty of dairy farms over there, yeah. The cheese heads over there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Then another thing with the same farmer is trying to figure out how to get his old Kubota off the ground a little bit. That's a slow clearance to the ground. And it's almost useless in the wintertime. And that model he's got, you can't put any risers in the springs on that. It's got a cap on it. Always something.
Oh, yeah.
Anyone else working with someone now that's having some issues or questions on stuff? Anything else that you'd like to visit about? In the wide world of assistive technology.
Sounds like we're about talked out.
Boy, oh boy, yes. Maybe everybody went home. Pretty quiet. You're still there, Steve.
Yep, I'm here.
Anything else with your farmers recently that you're working with? Any ideas whether there's any grant stuff for someone getting into goats?
We're in the process. Our senior design project has just started, so I don't know what's in the works there.
Okay,
well, why don't we...
go ahead. What were you going to say, Steve? I cut you off.
Well, why don't we call it a day?
I think so.
Well, thank you. I was listening honest.
Are you sure?
I'm positive. You didn't have anything to say today.
We have heard you for a long time, Inetta.
Yeah.
Well, I'm back.
Do you have any great words of wisdom for us, Inetta, before?
No. Yes. Stay warm.
Stay warm.
I've got a shameless plug I'll throw in, and that's, since this is the ATCOI, don't forget to send in your NTW proposals, because I don't have a lot of AT-related sessions yet. So if anybody wants to get any more proposals in, get them to me as soon as you can.
AT proposals.
Yes, I really don't. I got something from Ned Stoller today, but I don't have a lot that really has to do with assistive technology yet.
For
presentations.
What areas?
Sorry, what did you say?
What areas have you got them in on?
Well, let me look here. I got what Ned Stoller sent in was on grain bin management and assistive technology. He called it a shovel, two buckets, and a broken leg. So that's what he sent in. And then, let's see. I really think that's about it. Annette sent me something on green thumbs, healthy joints, but that's mostly looking at arthritis and a partnership with what they've been working with arthritis, I think.
Actually, Dan, what you were talking about, the app, the farming app, that might be a really good presentation. Because we could actually have some iPads there. Finally, will we have internet access?
Yeah. I'm hoping to do a session on like a hands-on social media session too. So that would be good too to have.
Right, but we could use iPads and actually have some of those farming apps that people could at least see how they work. I mean, and they have everything from, like you said, the monitoring stuff and how you can use an old iPhone that you're not using anymore as a camera system, clear up to how to lay out your garden in the right format.
Yeah, there are a gazillion apps out there.
Kylie, I'll tell you what, I'll write up an abstract and get that into you tomorrow. And then maybe we can work together on it.
We'll be in touch there, yeah. Let's
sounds like a plan to me.
That sounds good. So.
Something that people would like to learn a little bit about, I think, if they do use that. And a lot more farmers now are getting computer savvy and working with some of the other mm-hmm. types of the iPads and phones. And
coming from a position like he said, he doesn't use it. He's not out there. Maybe we can show other agribility professionals what's available so that they're not afraid to maybe step out into the techie world.
Right.
Yeah. I think that'd be good because, I mean, just from the professional side of it, the agribility staff people, I know they've been asking me when I've been doing marketing calls with the different states that they say that they know they should be using like apps and social media and blah, 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 but they don't know enough about it or they're not comfortable with it or they don't know how to do it best or whatever. So I think your app, idea would fall into that category too. But you should have internet access. That would mean we could do more than one hands-on session because I'm hoping to do a social media one on how to use it and navigate it and all that stuff. So, it could be kind of maybe even a back-to-back sort of thing using the technology like that for working with farmers and working with your own project or something like that. So
yeah.
That could work. The other proposal I got is a prosthetic adapter for agricultural machinery. So that's from the Farm Arm people. And from what I understand, they are a group of students out of Boston. They're at a university in Boston, Northeastern University, and I think they're going to do an exhibit, and then they'd like to do a presentation. So, but that's the two that I have so far is really just that one and from Ned. So,
cool.
Well, Dan, I'll write up an abstract and I'll whip it your way and see what you think, and we'll get it to Kylie.
Thanks, guys.
Sounds good. Anything else? Appreciate y'all being there.
Thank you, Dan.
Well, Steve, thank you.
Appreciate your help.
Dan, he's our man.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Sounds good.
Well everybody, have a good weekend.
Stay warm, and we'll talk to you later.
Wow.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, colleague.
Have a good day.